On April 2nd, 2005, I was a senior in college preparing for graduation, and I was on a men's retreat that weekend with some of my Christian friends who were not Catholic. And there was a heaviness on my heart. There was a sadness in me because on that day, April 2nd, 2005, the seventh day in the octave of Easter, the day before the great solemnity of Divine Mercy Sunday, is when now St. John Paul II died. And I was on retreat that weekend, and I'll always remember the feeling in my heart when I was on that retreat. It was actually probably the closest to the Catholic faith that I've ever felt, a closeness to the universal church in my sadness and in my grief. I had very loving brothers on that retreat with me who just weren't able to share in the same way. They cared for me, they loved me, they were asking me how I was doing, but they didn't have that same experience of grief that I had. And when they asked me what it was like, I think the closest thing that I could say that it felt like was like losing a father or losing a grandfather. That, like I said, was the closest, maybe at that time in my life, that I had ever felt to the Catholic Church as we, as a church, mourned the loss of our Holy Father, John Paul II. It was something that stuck with me, something that was deeply moving for me. And I grieved him, as you probably did, not as a head of state, not as an author, not as some celebrity, but as a family member, as someone in the household of God whom I had a connection to. I had seen him in person just a few years before that in 2002 at World Youth Day in Toronto, and I remember the moving experience that was for me. For the first time in my life, with my own eyes, just a few feet in front of me, was the Holy Father, the successor of St. Peter, this vicar for Christ, his representative to us on earth. And then mourning him in his death and in the days that followed, it was a moving experience. Then flash forward 6 years from then, May 1st, 2011, by this time, I was sure that I was going to enter the seminary, largely because St. John Paul II's influence on me, as well as my childhood pastor and other priests that I had known. And I found myself in St. Peter's Square on that Divine Mercy Sunday, May 1st, 2011, as John Paul II was beatified. He was recognized as one of the holy ones of God in heaven. And I spent that whole night awake, maybe like last night for some of you, in the streets leading up to St. Peter's Square with 1.5 million of my best friends, my brothers and sisters from Poland and Germany and Austria and the United States and all over the world. There were pilgrims in that square and in the streets leading up to it, not to mourn this time, but to celebrate, to recognize he's now blessed John Paul II. Of course, the Holy Father at that time, Pope Benedict, was the celebrant of the Mass. It was the first time I ever laid my eyes on him to celebrate that Mass with that 1.5 million crowd in St. Peter's Square. Yesterday, we have probably a similar experience, huh? The loss of another father. Even the word Pope, it comes from the Italian Papa, which just means father. And so when we call the Pope Papa, we don't just call him some head of state. He's not just some author, some celebrity, but he's a family member. And there's real grief when we lose a family member. There's something deep, there's something profound there because of the connection we had to them. Actually, fittingly enough, St. John Paul II, he died on the seventh day of the octave of Easter, the day before Divine Mercy Sunday. Now Pope Benedict dies the seventh day of the octave of Christmas, the day before we celebrate the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, both dying on a Saturday, the day after God created the heavens and the earth and all that filled them, he rested. And both of these fathers of ours have now gone to their eternal rest. And so there's mixed emotions in it. There's grief, there's sadness, there's also relief and joy that they've gone to their father's house. That was actually St. John Paul II's last words on earth. Let me go to my father's house. And it's recorded that Pope Benedict's last words yesterday, Jesus, I love you. What beautiful examples for us from our family members, from our holy fathers. And I think a fitting reflection on this feast day of the motherhood of God, Mary, that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God became incarnate, and he became incarnate in a womb. He took flesh from Mary. He was born into the human family. That's why he's able to call Mary mother. He called her Emma. He called Joseph Abba. He used these familial terms because God was born into a human family. What an amazing thing to celebrate. And then on the eighth day, like we heard in the gospel reading today, he became a member of that household of Israel. He received the mark of circumcision, the mark that every Jewish boy would receive on the eighth day, incorporating them and claiming them into the family or the house of Israel. The second person of the Trinity received that mark. The first time he shed his blood for us was as an infant, as he was born into that household of Israel. And I think it's a fitting reflection for us, even as we mourn our Holy Father Pope Benedict, because it reminds us of who we are. St. Paul reminds us of that today in the second reading from Galatians, this pivotal selection from Galatians of who we are in the faith. St. Paul calls us right there at the beginning, brothers and sisters. That's how St. Paul addresses us, not as congregants, not as anything but brothers and sisters. And then he reflects with us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters, as proof that you are sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, so that you no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through God. St. Paul reminds us of our deepest identity, that because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he was her son. He became man in her womb, born into the household or the family of Israel. Because of all of that, we receive the grace of adoption. Because God became man and part of our family, we might be taken up in him and become members of the family of God. And families have relationships. They have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Jesus had all these relationships on earth. He had Joseph and Mary, he had cousins and aunts and uncles, John the Baptist and Elizabeth and Zechariah. He had all these family members in his earthly family. But then he calls us into that family too. Even there's a scene in the Gospels where people come to him and say, Jesus, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are out asking for you. And he says, who are my mother and who's my brother and my sisters? It's those who do the will of my heavenly Father. It's those who have been adopted into the household of God. Mary was that first to receive the Son. She's called rightly the Mother of God, the God-bearer. And because she bore God, because she received Him in her womb, so we are able to be received into heaven, into the household and the family of God with all the saints who are our brothers and our sisters. And this is a great thing to celebrate. Here as we begin a new year, here as we claim ourselves as God's sons and daughters, that we reflect on our mother, Mary, and we remember Pope Benedict, our Holy Father, we remember all of our family members who have gone into their eternal rest. It's a good reflection to remind ourselves, first and foremost, who am I? I'm one that belongs to God. I'm one that's been adopted into His family. And because of that relationship, I have a connection with all the other members of His house. You're not just congregants. You don't just have some loose relationship with one another here in the pews today. We call each other, and rightly so, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers. We have these relationships in the household of God leading us into that place where we'll rest forever. So let us celebrate this faith, this great family that each of us has ownership in. Let us thank God for calling us His sons and daughters. Let us thank God for giving us Mary, our mother. And let us pray too for those who have gone to the eternal rest.